Small Biz America.
The Brain.
Our guest on this edition is a 15-year veteran radio host and entrepreneur. He started his first business at age 21, which he built and sold just a few years later. Kent Covington has been providing radio and marketing consulting services to various organizations ever since. He currently serves as president of Embark Business Advancement. This is a company that provides guidance and marketing services to small and mid-sized businesses. Joining us from his offices in Oakland, Georgia, to talk about the common marketing mistakes that many small businesses make is Kent Covington. Kent, welcome to the program.
Hi, David. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us. It seems this career in radio you had may have led you to the world of small business marketing. How did the work you did in radio inform the work you're now doing with small businesses?
Well, it all kind of morphed. I started out in radio very young and worked in just worked on air and behind the scenes both in radio. But for me, it wasn't. It wasn't quite enough because I've just always been one of those people that I just have a desire and a drive to build something. It's just that entrepreneurial itch was always there for me. So I, a couple of years after getting in radio, I cut back to part-time and I started a business and ran that for a few years, sold it, and went back into radio full-time. But when I went back in, I began doing a lot more radio advertising work for people. Mm. Being in radio, I had contacts with other people who had asked me to, help them develop a radio campaign, some sort of, commercial campaign. And so in doing that, and also through having owned a small business and through understanding the frustrations and the complications and when I had the business, just not having any clue what I needed to do to make it grow, how to market it. And so I really began to study and learn everything I could. I learned a lot, obviously, through making mistakes, which is usually the best, teacher is mistakes you make along the way. But between those mistakes and learning all I could there, the radio advertising that I began doing on a regular basis, and the principles, whether it's radio advertising or whether it's another form, a lot of the principles that make advertising effective, let's say on the radio, are true across the board.
Ken, I wanted to start with radio because that's a place that you grew from. What's changed about radio over the years? This is a quickly changing environment for an advertiser, isn't it?
It really is changing. The communication landscape is changing tremendously, and also just advertising in general.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is that advertising is less efficient today than it ever has been. And that's not to say that advertising can't be effective. Even mass media advertising for many companies, it's a great choice. It works extremely well. But you don't win just by showing up. There was a day, I think, in the golden age of advertising, where if you had a quality product and a healthy ad budget, you would succeed. But across the board, that's not the case anymore. You really have to plan carefully. You really have to know what you're doing. As far as radio specifically and the way that's changing, everything's changing across the board. Obviously television's affected by, digital video recorders and, just the expanding channel lineup everywhere. And it finally caught up to radio as well, where, satellite radio's there and internet radio's gaining more and more steam. And I know myself, I'll have my iPhone, plugged in the car, listening to internet radio, and that sort of thing's coming more and more. So it is a changing landscape. Radio, they're going to have to be increasingly local, and I think radio stations are going to have to do a better job of really understanding what business they're in, which is the business of helping businesses grow. A lot of them think they're in the ratings business, and that's important, but they're really there to help people do the most effective advertising they can to grow their businesses.
In your view, what do you think that most small businesses or micro-enterprises miss about how to use, again, I want to focus on radio now and then we can migrate away, but in terms of using, let's say, a local radio affiliate to advertise their small business, what should they know or what are they missing from the approach to that?
Well, as far as using radio, if it's going to be an effective tool for them, I would say the one big thing, and again, this is true of any advertising, but I would say as much or more with radio than other things.
Yeah.
A lot of people make the mistake, and I did too. I did it as well. They take what I call the vending machine approach to advertising, which, when you walk up to a vending machine, you look there and you say, "Well, that looks good. Yogurt-covered pretzels. I think I'll try that." So they, you put your money in, you hit D7, and you reach down there and you claim your treat. or you look up and you say powdered donuts. Well, that looks good. You know, that fits my diet just fine. So I'm going to put put my money in here and hit E3. And people try to do the same thing with advertising. They just kind of look at it like, well, what's going to work? They're looking for the magic bullet. What's going to work? I need more business. Well, let me try radio. Let me throw some money in radio and see what happens.
Nope,
that didn't work. Let me throw some money in newspaper, see what happens. Well, nope, that didn't work. Let's try television. And it doesn't work that way. First of all, you know, marketing when done well is an ecosystem of a number of things working together. But as far as radio specifically is concerned, you can't put your toe in and test the waters. It's kind of like throwing something in a crock pot and grabbing it out an hour later. You know, you're not going to get anything out of it. With most any advertising, but especially with radio or television, you're going to have to commit to doing it for a period of time, at least 3 to 6 months. You have to, if you're going to advertise on the radio, you have to plan on not getting anything back out of it for 3 months. And I know for a lot of people, when they hear that, they think, you know, that may scare them a little bit. But the reality of it is that in the long run, it can be one of the most effective things you can possibly do. I worked with a financial planner not too long ago who, you know, we began working, began putting a radio campaign in place for him. And he really didn't see anything over the first 3 months. About 4 or 5 months into that radio campaign, all of a sudden, he began doing it. I think in the fourth or the fifth month, he did more work in that month than he did the previous 6 months combined.
Wow.
And it just kept working like that. There's a point where it's kind of like a flywheel where it breaks over and you begin to really see a lot of response. But people have to hear about things for a while. You really have to build up that exposure, and that's just the way it works in any kind of media with sound. But in the end, you know, using some sort of media with sound is usually the most powerful sort of advertising that you can do.
Kent, is it necessary for a small business to think of a local radio as a direct response mechanism?
I think it can be a decent direct response mechanism.
In other words, something they measure directly with a phone number or a code of some kind, that sort of, like we can do on the internet, is where I'm going with that.
Yes, but I would be careful. I would be careful. I'm just share, you know, a story. The first business that I had was a carpet upholstery cleaning business.
Oh yeah,
something I got into that business because I knew it. I'd worked in it as a teenager, and I remember at one point, again, not really knowing what I was doing, and doing the vending machine approach, trying a little of this, trying a little of that. Well, I hired a really good graphic designer and put together a really nice mail piece. And we sent it out to 1,000 homes in a select neighborhood, a neighborhood we really wanted to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd always heard the same statistic so many people have. Well, 2% would be a good response. And I thought, heck, at first I'll be happy with 1%. You know, if I could just, you know, if I got 10 people, you know, that called me back out of this, I'd be happy.
Sure.
Well, I sent these 1,000 flyers out, and I got absolutely no response, not a single call. And I was surprised by that. And I remember later on when I was selling the company, I got to know some other business owners in the area. One in particular had very similar circumstances to mine in terms of his company. When he would send his a direct mail piece out, he would get 2 to 3% response at least. And I looked at his direct mail piece, I looked at mine, and I just. You know, even in retrospect, I can say that, frankly, the one we put out was better designed.
Interesting.
But the difference was that he had a radio campaign in place. And what happened was that the radio campaign that he had in place was influencing, and it was building his brand, it was building recognition, it was building trust. And even though we didn't necessarily get a lot of direct response off of radio, what happened is when people got that direct mail flyer, you know, in their mailbox, they recognized the company. The advertising that he'd been doing for months had already done some work in influencing and persuading the people that received it. When they opened their phone book and flipped through their yellow pages and they saw his ad, he got what happened is, after several months of being on the radio, he began to see 2 to 3 times better response off of his yellow page ads and off of his direct mail. So, you know, radio can be a direct response mechanism, but, you know, if you try to measure it solely based on, you know, what you're getting back off of radio, you're really limiting yourself in terms of the kind of impact you can get off of it. It's an influencing medium more than anything. It may not be the point of contact, but it can make all of those other things that you do that are a point of contact exponentially more effective.
That's beautiful. That's a great story to share. So really demonstrating the counterpoint that you can build brand, you can build credibility, you can build know, like, and trust with the radio and audio and maybe television medium, and then but not necessarily make it a point of contact. That's beautiful. We're visiting with Kent Covington. The company is Embark Business Advancement. That website, www.kentcovington.com. Kent, you've constructed a step-by-step process to help small businesses. This is called the Marketing Map. If you would, give us a quick tour of how it works and what it is.
Sure. Well, you know, the Marketing Map is just a step-by-step process. It's seven steps just to try to lay out a nice, easy, clean game plan. You know, putting myself in the shoes of entrepreneurs and remembering, you know, where I was when I started my first business and really not knowing what to do in terms of how to market the business, how to move it forward, and you know, feeling like I'm just, you know, stabbing around in the dark. I wanted to put together something that just very concisely, you know, gave people a step-by-step plan to say, you know, as a way of thinking about it. You may not be able to do, there's seven steps, you may not be able to do them all in a linear process. In other words, if you're already in business, you may already be on, you know, doing something on step four, step six.
Yeah.
But it's linear in the sense of how you can think about it, you know, step one through step seven.
Okay.
The first step of the Marketing Map is focus. When you talk to a lot of business owners and you ask them, who's your customer? You know, some of them will tell you, well, whoever will buy. You know, whoever has, you know, if they're a plumbing company, it's, well, anybody that has pipes. And that's, you know, that may be true to some extent, but you really have to, you don't generally succeed by trying to be everything to everyone. You really have to narrow your focus and determine who are your most profitable customers, who do you really want to target. And sometimes that means leaving somebody out. Sometimes that means, you know, closing the door a little bit on one group of customers, but that's okay. You know, there are times when perhaps you may even need to fire certain customers. There may be, you know, there may be some that just simply aren't that profitable. It's the old 80-20 rule, you know, maybe 80% of your profit comes from 20% of your customers. 80% of your headaches come from another 20% of your customers.
Also true, yes.
So, you know, taking a look through who you're targeting and, you know, just narrow that customer focus. The same thing true with products that you serve. I remember talking years ago with a guy, you know, in the smallest of businesses. He had a vacuum cleaner repair shop, and he worked there 6 days a week, about 10 to 12 hours a day, and he never took a vacation. And he was completely and totally burned out, as you might imagine. And you know, I remember asking him the obvious question, which was, well, why don't you hire some help? And he said, well, I've tried that, but it's, you know, every time I get somebody trained in, they wind up leaving, and it's just cost me so much money and so much time to train them that it's just not worth it. And I remember in his shop there, he had a pretty good location. And I think it's since been bought out by a Walgreens, if that tells you how good it was.
Yeah.
And in the front, he had, he'd always have maybe 5 or 10, you know, vacuum cleaners that were refurbished. And he'd always have them out there. And they would sell pretty quick. And I remember asking him a little bit about that. And, well, turns out, you know, he would find old or used vacuum cleaners and fix them up, and they put them out there and resell them. And when I asked him, when I probed a little bit about how much time he spent on that and what the profit margin was, turns out he was doing far, far better fixing up and reselling used vacuum cleaners and floor equipment than he ever was just doing repair work on an hourly basis. And so as we talked about it, it was one of those things where just kind of taking a step back. I mean, when sometimes, as Roy H. Williams likes to say, it's hard to read the label when you're inside the bottle.
Absolutely.
And sometimes just taking a step back at what you offer, what kind of product offerings, what's more profitable, take a step back, and maybe you need to change your focus a little bit. Maybe there's certain products that you don't necessarily need to concentrate on, or maybe you don't need to offer at all. And so that's the other part of it, you know, focusing your target market, focusing the products or services that you offer. And that's step one. Step two is positioning yourself, really thinking about your identity. And I would say, David, that's probably the probably the most common and one of the two most common and deadly mistakes that small businesses make, or that they don't set themselves apart. The phrase I like to use is the disease of similarity. You know, and so many businesses are affected by it. They're just very much alike all of their competitors. And they never hone in on exactly what sets them apart in a meaningful way. And if you ask a lot of businesses, well, what sets you apart? Well, our people make the difference. Well, our customer service. It's our service that makes the difference. And that's great. And that very well may be true, but that's kind of like a politician saying, I'm honest.
Yeah.
They all say it, and some of them mean it, but the fact that they all say it makes it meaningless. So you have to find something, mm-hmm. you know, just like in the car market, Volvo years ago established themselves quite nicely in the American market by letting people know that they were about one thing. They were about safety. And so by, you know, really clearly defining who you are, what you're about, why you're different from your competition, that's positioning, that's your identity in step two.
Okay. Framework marketing is number three, right?
It is, yes.
What is framework marketing? That's something I haven't heard before.
Yeah, framework marketing is, very simply put, framework marketing is marketing that's built into the framework of your business. And this is the other thing. So there are two very common and dangerous mistakes that small businesses make. And the other one is right here within step three, is that so many people think of marketing and advertising as synonyms. They think they're, two words that have the same meaning.
Yes.
And the reality of it is that advertising is just one facet of marketing. It's just, it is, they're not the same thing. It's just simply one subset of marketing. Marketing, I believe, is anything that affects the way people see your business or their desire to do business with you.
Yeah.
And so that means many different things. If you have a restaurant, then certainly your advertising and your sign, yes, those things are marketing. But so are, so is the appearance of your wait staff, so is the appearance of your dishes, the environment, the way you answer the phone, the way the carpet looks, the way the CEO, everything is marketing, because your location, certainly your location, all of those things are marketing because they affect the way people see you and their desire to do business with you. So framework marketing, quite simply, is those things that are really built into the framework of your business that you may not think of as marketing. Other things like your return policies, risk reversal. If you're making an offer to people, are you doing what you can to overcome their fears? Your design, your imaging, logo, packaging, your facilities,
all
of those things.
Okay. Mastering the web probably sounds like what it is, right?
Yeah, exactly what it sounds like. It's, it's still one of those areas that so many small business people are intimidated by the web and how to use it. And there are so many different things going on. And I would be lying if I said at times I'm not intimidated by trying to keep up with, everything that's out there and understanding it. But there are some basic things that you can do. There's no need really to get overwhelmed. I would say the biggest thing that we talk about is your website. One of the biggest problems that small businesses have with the website is they put a website together that is what I call a yellow page type website. It's just simply a menu of information, and you arrive at their website and it's basically click here to go here, click here to go here. When what a website should do is it should be a process. You need to, put yourself inside the shoes of the people that are arriving at your website. And if you have a specific goal, you need to have a specific goal and objective that you're trying to reach. What is it you want the visitors to your website to do? And then set your website up as a process that leads them towards that goal.
Okay.
But beyond that, things like email marketing and making use of some of the social tools that are mm-hmm. out there. There's mm-hmm. a lot to it, obviously, but it's important to gain a basic understanding and put it to work, because it's definitely an efficient and a powerful marketing tool.
Kent, number five is PR and affiliate marketing. Now, PR is very different from advertising, and then affiliate marketing is also different from both of them. So how are you thinking about this in terms of your framework here?
True. Yeah. Public relations, that's something that's changing. Just been reading a great book myself called The New Rules of Marketing and PR by David Meerman Scott. It's important to really take a step back, understand public relations, how you can put it to work for your company. And that's true both in a physical sense, in a traditional sense, and online. But it can be a very powerful and a very efficient marketing tool, so it's definitely something to look into and take advantage of. And then affiliate marketing is something that, it's amazing how few businesses really put that to work. But that's affiliate marketing is just simply the practice of teaming up with other businesses to say, hey, let's help each other out, other non-competing businesses. If you have a store that sells flooring, and somebody else has a store that does that installs windows, you have an opportunity to work together. You're reaching the same customers, and so you have an opportunity to team up and help to advertise that company to your customers. They do the same for you. And this is something that's also very big on the internet with websites, simply exchanging traffic or sending some traffic to a particular website, and then they give you a percentage of the sale.
Yes.
Simply working together with other businesses is just a very efficient way to grow your business.
Okay, cool. And then number six is sales and referral marketing. I'm guessing referral is more about the customer word of mouth, isn't it?
Yeah, it's referral marketing, referring to the process of really getting people to recommend you, the process of talking to your existing customers.
Mm-hmm.
I guess having it systematized to really be able to take advantage of the relationships that you already have.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the biggest thing. So many businesses don't have a system in place for talking to their existing customers and getting them to refer them to their friends and to their family.
Mm-hmm.
And just by putting a system in place, you can see a pretty big difference there. And then in terms of systematizing, the same thing is true with sales. To whatever degree sales plays a role in your company, it may be that person-to-person sales may be a huge part of what you do in your company, and so you understand its importance. But perhaps you don't really have a solid sales system in place. You know, there are a lot of companies that just kind of hire a salesperson, and they just keep stabbing around looking for the salesperson that's going to turn to gold. Oftentimes, if you really invest and put some more effort into developing a system, you can make everyone on your team more effective. And also having a system in place for measuring that. But even if you're not a business where, that typically is thought of as being sales-centered, again, going back just to the restaurant example, a simple process for, offering dessert to people, figuring out how best to present it, having systems and processes in place can increase your average ticket. It can increase add-on sales. So, whether you're a company that relies on a sales staff or not at all, it's something that you can benefit from really putting some thought into.
All right, good. And then finally, number seven is advertise.
Yes, finally, all the way down at the end is...
right.
I've had some people ask me, so what is advertising all the way down at the end?
Sure.
And the answer goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where advertising is not necessarily the most efficient thing that you can do all of the time. And it can be very effective. In many cases, it's, very worth your while to advertise in traditional media. But you really need to do all of those things that come before it before you ever get to that point. Because if you are advertising, that's the thing that a lot of businesses, small businesses, tend to do, is they tend to focus so much on bringing in new customers. Well, how can I get more people in the door? How can I get more people in? And, the reality is if you work on those first six things first, so that when you establish a new contact, somebody contacts your business for the first time, you make sure that you have maximized, that you've optimized your conversion ratio, so that if somebody, again, going back to the restaurant example, because it's one we can all relate to, if somebody comes and eats at your restaurant, are they going to come back? And the best thing you can do is invest effort first to make sure you've done everything possible in image and taste and experience and everything to ensure that once they've eaten there, they're going to come back, that they're going to tell their friends, that you're going to get referrals. And it's because the actual process of generating new leads and new contacts is the most expensive part.
Yes. I mean, as you say, very inefficient.
Yes. That's why it's the final step. But, you know, there are so many things, you know, involved in advertising effectively, and we wouldn't have, you know, have the time to dive into all of them here, but...
We want to reserve the opportunity for you to work with clients at Embark Business Advancement, your company. Tell us a little bit about how you guys work.
Sure. Well, Embark is it's a small company. I've worked primarily, we're certainly open and work with people, but we've just worked with a handful of clients here for a number of years.
Mm.
Really just keeping the focus relatively small. We've done, as opposed to serving many different clients, we've served a few different clients quite a bit, and that's been the center of our focus. The bigger focus, you know, I have a passion for helping small businesses, having been there, and so our focus down in the future, we're not there at this point, but we really want to put more online tools and training in place. And that's a big part of, you know, our focus has been centered entirely on the Advancing Your Business radio show, which we've been putting together and have had in the works for quite some time. And so that's really the center of our focus at this point, is just trying to take that out and make it something that's a little bit easier, you know, a little bit easier to offer to everyone across the board.
Ken, thanks so much. Great stuff today. Thank you for lending your insights around marketing and related subjects. Our guest has been Kent Covington. The company's Embark Business Advancement. You've got a radio show in progress. And for information about that, www.kent, with a K, Kent Covington, covington.com, kentcovington.com. Kent, thanks so much for joining us on the Small Biz Brain.
All right, thanks, David. Take care.
Small Biz America.
The Brain.
Online at smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz.
Small Biz America.